So we're in a new year, and we're starting a new teaching series this morning. And over the past few months, I always find that over Christmas, oh, right, we're going to dismiss the children. Yeah, thank you for that. They're going to dismiss themselves. They know what's going on. I always find in December, my mind is trying to slow down for Advent. And at the same time, I know that January is coming and that we need to do something in January. What's the teaching thing going to be? And every year there's this, I want to just relax and think about Advent. And at the same time, this January's coming kind of thing. And this year, as I was praying and just listening to the Lord, I was drawn to the topic of the Holy Spirit. I thought that's what we need to do, is spend some time thinking about the Holy Spirit. And so on my whiteboard in my office, I started just listing all kinds of topics about the Holy Spirit. How did he work in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament? What about spiritual gifts? What about the fruit of the Spirit? What about listening and recognizing his voice? What about this and all kinds of things? And I thought, boy, that's going to take a long time. And I wasn't really excited about doing all that. And the more I prayed, the more I realized that I think what the Lord is asking us is not so much the Holy Spirit, but recognizing his voice. How to listen to God so that when he speaks through the Holy Spirit, that we're able to listen. And so I want to invite you over these next months into a season of preparing ourselves to listen for the voice of God. A series of teachings that will remind ourselves of what it actually means when we say we're listening to God or for God. To think about the kind of worldview that actually allows for God to speak. Because if we have a worldview that says, no, God doesn't do that anymore, then it's really hard to hear his voice because we've already discounted it. So we're going to think about things like worldview, the kind of posture that enables us to hear God's voice, and the kind of posture that basically misses his voice. And I want to just say a word about why I feel this is important for us at this time, why I feel like this is what the Lord has for us. I think I shared with you a couple of weeks ago my own sense that the Lord has something he wants to say to us in this new year. And I ended the service 2 weeks ago with a benediction. I said, speak, Lord, for your church, your people are listening. And I really believe that we as a church have a sincere desire to hear from the Lord. I think it's genuine. I think it's honest. I think it's even in the forefront of our minds. And I also believe the Lord wants to speak, to lead us. I believe that God is always wanting to speak and to lead us and to direct us. I believe that's true of us as individuals as we live our lives day to day. I believe that's true of our families as we teach our children to recognize the voice of the Lord. And I believe that's true of us as a congregation, as a community, as a church. I believe this is a fundamental part of what it means to be a follower of Christ, to have a relationship with God in which we can discern his voice. And so even one of our main banners is discerning through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, recognizing the voice of God when he speaks to us, that this is a natural part of any relationship, that there is interaction both of speaking and of listening. And I think I personally could list many ways, and we could as a church, many ways over the years that the Lord has provided for us, ways that he has directed us, and even things that he has said to us that have shaped the church that we are today. I don't think it would be very difficult for us if we were to open it up and just talk about testimonies of the way the Lord has spoken to us. I don't think it would be very difficult for us to tell stories and give testimony to the fact that this is our experience. So to say that God wants to speak to our church is nothing new. except that I have this sense that the Lord wants us to be ready for him to speak to us this year. And so it's not just that he wants to speak to us, but that the message is, prepare yourselves. That there's something about this season of our church where the Lord is saying, prepare yourselves for the Lord to speak or to guide or to provide in some way. So why would this invitation to prepare be necessary if we already believe and practice listening to God? Why would this be necessary? And all I can think of is that if we are not actively engaged in listening, we might miss his voice this time. We might not recognize his leading or his provision because it's not what we are expecting. And if we're not listening carefully, we may overlook it. You'll recall last week, we took some time to pray, and I specifically felt led to ask you to pray prayers of surrender. Surrendering our expectations of what the provision or the leading of God will look like, and surrendering our sense of timing, that we would know how or when this would happen. Because sometimes in order to hear something, we have to let go of something to make room for this new direction of the Lord. And so I'm reminded a little bit of John the Baptist, who said, prepare the way of the Lord. Sometimes the word of the Lord to the church is prepare. Sometimes the word is prepare for the word of the Lord. And so as we enter this new year, I want to focus, I feel led that we need to focus on the preparations that make us ready to hear from the Lord. And as is always the case in preparing for either the work of the Lord in our midst or for the word of the Lord in our midst, the preparations always begin with spiritual preparations. There is always a setting aside of ourselves to intentionally open our ears to hear from the Lord. And so to study and to talk about this kind of preparation, I want to turn this morning to the story of Israel as our text in understanding this. So I want to set this up by saying, when Israel was getting ready to enter the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, they were preparing themselves to cross the Jordan River to inherit all that God had promised them. And before that event took place, Joshua called the people together and he said this in Joshua 3 verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, to consecrate yourself is to be prepared to be used for God's holy purposes. To consecrate is to set aside because God will use this for something, and so let's purify it. Let's make sure that it is pure as God is pure so that God can use it without hindrance. It's a bit of a dedication ceremony, making themselves holy, pure, clean, confession of sin, so that God could use the people in entering the promised land. And so Joshua told the people, whatever you need to do to set yourselves aside for God, do it. Let's not move forward holding on to any baggage from the past. That was a big thing for Israel. Let's not move forward carrying any sin in our midst. Confess your sin, repent. Let's not move forward carrying anything that hinders the work of God among us. And so the message was, consecrate yourselves because God is about to act. Now, the reason that this was so important for Joshua was that the last time Israel was about to enter the promised land, the people did not consecrate themselves. They did not trust God. They did not believe that God would do amazing things among them. You'll recall the story. Israel sent 12 spies into the promised land. They looked around for 40 days. They came back with mixed messages. Joshua and Caleb said, "This is an amazing land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and I can't wait to get there, and God will do amazing things to give us this land." The other 10 said, "We don't stand a chance." Israel listened to the negative voices. They listened to the voices that did not believe God would do great things among them. And it was that disobedience that led to the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So we have this from Numbers chapter 14, beginning at verse 33. This is what God said to the people after they decided to listen to the 10. "Your children will be shepherds here in the desert for 40 years. Suffering for your unfaithfulness," the leaders who said we shouldn't go, "until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you." There's a sobering thought. "I, the Lord, have spoken. And I will surely do these things to the whole wicked community which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die." Wow, could you imagine hearing that word from the Lord because of what God calls unfaithfulness? Suffering for your unfaithfulness. Now think about this. Specifically, what was the unfaithfulness? What got them into trouble? They sent spies to scope out the land. The spies measured the land. They measured the armies. They measured the height of the giants that lived in the land. And they even measured the grapes. Huge grapes on clusters that they brought back. And the 10 said, "Anyone with any level of intelligence can clearly see that we don't stand a chance." He said, "We're like gnats in the air. They're going to swat us away. We don't stand a chance." And so they made their assessment based on common sense, what was really obvious. They made their calculations, and then they trusted their IQ. Joshua and Caleb measured the same armies and the same giants, and they came to a different conclusion. They did not rely on common sense or IQ. They leaned on GQ, the God quotient. They determined that God could do what God said he would do. They simply determined that God could do what God said he would do, in fact, what God promises to do. But Israel chose to rely on their IQ rather than on the GQ. And this is what God called unfaithfulness. You will suffer for your unfaithfulness, your lack of faith that I am who I say I am, that I can do and will do what I said I will do. That was 40 years earlier. Now, Joshua and the people that survived the desert 40 years later, they're preparing to enter the promised land a second time, their second attempt. They're about to cross the Jordan, and their first stop on the other side of the Jordan River will be the city of Jericho. Now, do you remember the strategy that God gave them to take down the city of Jericho? Doesn't make sense. Blowing trumpets, marching around the city. Does that plan sound like it's based on common sense or intelligence? Or does that sound like it's based on some kind of God quotient? Again, even by the least of the intelligent among us, we would all agree this is a crazy idea. It makes no sense. But IQ was not the measure of God's power. Joshua's words, listen very carefully to them, consecrate yourselves. Why? For tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Somewhere in the desert, Israel learned to trust God. They grew in their GQ. Even when God's direction was contrary to common sense, they would obey. And friends, this has been a challenge for God's people even up to today. Leaning on IQ rather than on GQ. Doubting the amazing things that God could do among us. Or perhaps it's not that he could do it, but that it's he would do it among us. And this was not just Israel's problem. This is a human condition. And it represents one of the core issues of faith. That's why God called this unfaithfulness. The sin is we don't believe God can or will do what he said he would do. This same problem existed in the early church. In the book of Hebrews, the New Testament church was warned of this same danger. Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Notice that phrase. Do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, notice again, their hearts are always going astray, hard-hearted hearts that are going astray. They have not known my ways, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Today, if you hear his voice, don't be IQ people. IQ people have hard hearts. IQ people's hearts are always going astray. They're always following a different voice. IQ people will never enter my rest. They will never receive what I have promised to them because, he says, they have not known my ways. It is my ways that lead to my rest, not your ways. And this theme in the book of Hebrews carries on. The writer of Hebrews quotes this same verse from the Psalms two more times in the next couple of chapters. Chapter 3, verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Chapter 4. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You get the feeling that maybe this is important. If you harden your heart to GQ, you will never enter the rest of God. The rest of God is only accomplished through the work of God. And if we reject the amazing work that God wants to do, how can we enter his rest? There is no rest of God without the work of God. And so to participate in the work of God, we have to make room for God to do amazing things that you could never do on your own and that may not even make sense to you. So today, if you hear his voice, don't turn away. Don't harden your heart. We want to enter the rest that God has prepared for us. Then the writer says in chapter 4, verse 11, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." He calls the refusal to make room for God to do his work, he calls that disobedience. We often think that disobedience is us refusing to do the things that God has asked us to do. Here he's saying disobedience is us not allowing God to do the things that he wants to do. Disobedience is saying no to the work of God because it doesn't make sense. It's not what we would do. And so we think it's not possible. And then we come to these famous words of Scripture. "For the word of God is active, is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Now, friends, it is no coincidence that this description of how the Word of God penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, it is no coincidence that this is written as a summary statement of today, if you hear his voice. His voice is alive. It's active. It speaks right to your soul and spirit. And if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You will be judged for this unfaithfulness. Nothing is hidden from God. So, Mountain Park, in the words of Joshua, consecrate yourselves, for the Lord is about to do something among you. Is your heart ready to hear from God? What amazing things might God do? I have no idea. I don't know what he wants to do. I don't know when he's going to do it. The point of our teaching today is prepare. Consecrate yourselves so that when you do hear his voice, you do not harden your heart. When you do hear his voice, we don't reject it because it doesn't make sense to us. Now, having said that, I think there's a really important caution that we have to speak on this topic. And the caution is this: Joshua never came up with the plan to take Jericho by blowing trumpets. That was not Joshua's plan. And what I mean by that is, we do not get to tell God what amazing things he needs to do among us. We don't get to come up with crazy ideas that make no common sense and then assume that God will do amazing things with our crazy ideas. That is not faith. That is presumption. Presumption begins with our ideas. Faith is response to God's ideas. And if there's one thing that is abundantly clear in this passage, where the writer says it over and over and over, and three times he quotes that passage from the Psalms. If there's a one thing that is so clear, it's that today, when you hear his voice, today, if you hear his voice, not my voice, not your voice, not the consensus voice, faith begins with God initiating, speaking his voice. And if God asks us as a church to do something that is unexpected, and his voice cuts to the soul and the spirit, and if that voice brings conviction to our heart, it is at that point that we surrender to what God is saying, and not before. And it is the work of preparation over the next few weeks that we want to do. How do we prepare ourselves with that kind of posture? What kind of worldview do we have to hold that says it is normal for God to speak to us in this way? How do we posture ourselves so that when the word of the Lord comes, we do not harden our hearts to the unexpected? You know, we love it when we hear God's voice. I love it when I hear God's voice. I love it when I hear God's voice. I love it when he says he's going to do amazing things among us. I love it especially when his idea of amazing things lines up with the way that I would like it to be done. That's so easy, isn't it? But are we even open to God doing amazing things among us that seem contrary to common sense? That's the God quotient. That's the piece that we want to prepare. Let me risk a short word of application and testing for us this morning. What I just shared actually makes sense. It does. If God is preparing to do something, and if he doesn't want us to miss it, it makes sense that God would ask us to prepare. It makes sense. But if even this doesn't make sense, if your worldview is that there is no room for God to speak and intervene in these miraculous ways, this would be an indication of a hard heart. This is precisely what got Israel in trouble. A lack of faith that God can and will do things among us. The word of God penetrates the heart. And that's where our security comes from. The word of God, when he speaks, it penetrates to our heart, and it can actually soften our hearts if we will surrender to the things that the Lord is saying to us. And so this morning, the word of the Lord to us, I think, is simply prepare. Consecrate yourself. Don't resist that God wants to speak. Let him speak just that word this morning, to prepare, to consecrate, and to surrender ourselves so that the Lord can speak to us. Let's take a moment just of doing exactly what I've been talking about, praying and surrendering so that the Lord can speak. Father, we believe that you do lead. We pray and intercede for your provision. We ask you to guide us and to lead us and to provide for us. But Father, we don't want to dictate what that provision looks like. And so today we simply want to prepare to lay down our biases. And frankly, if the bias is that you don't do this, that we would repent of that. That we would lay aside any baggage that we have about you, about the way you work, before we hear you. Our desire is that in confession and repentance, we would be ready to hear from you. And so we begin by confessing and repenting any unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to the things that you want to do, to the words that you want to give, that we might not be receptive. Holy Spirit, we know that you are able to cut to the very joints and marrows, to the soul and to the spirit, to bring conviction to our heart. We give you that right now. We open ourselves. We yield ourselves to the things that you want to say to us as individuals, so that when you speak to us as a church, we as individuals will be ready to hear from you. We look forward to the things that you want to do among us, and we pray that as we prepare ourselves, you would show us what that preparation means, and that we would surrender those things in Jesus' name. Amen.